scripture this morning is James, first chapter, verses 1 through 12. The message is entitled Persevere. Clearly comes from the text. And we're using the Amplified Bible. You will see that there are portions in brackets. And these are, that's what's amplified. These are words that were added for explanation. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 Hebrew tribes scattered abroad among the Gentiles in the dispersion, greetings, rejoice. Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom to guide him through a decision or a circumstance, he is to ask of our benevolent God, who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But he must ask for wisdom and faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Being a double-minded man, unstable and restless in all his ways and everything he thinks, feels, or decides. Let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his high position as a born-again believer, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. And the rich man is to glory in being humbled by trials revealing human frailty, knowing true riches are found in the grace of God. For like the flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass. His flowers falls off, and his beauty fades away. So, too, will be the rich man in the midst of his pursuits fade away. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, and favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For, when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The word of God, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present Lord, we thank you for your holy, inspired, inerrant word, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation. Lord, we ask God the Holy Spirit to be upon us, to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive what you desire to reveal to us today. Do not let this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Near the end of August, I got a phone call from Aiden. He is the president of the Stockton Christian Fellowship. It's a student-led club on the university campus. And while it is student-led, they have advisors. The advisor for the Apologetics Club, which meets on Thursday nights, gave Aiden my phone number. So Aiden called me to see if I'd be willing to come and teach occasionally and be involved with the fellowship. And after having served in that capacity for several years, I stopped last February of 2022 after my second bout with COVID. I had decided that I needed to take a few things off of my plate. But I told Aiden that I would be happy to start working with the Stockton Christian Fellowship again. We arranged that I would come to the first meeting to meet with him and the leadership, and we could discuss things further. Well, that first Tuesday of September was the first day of classes at Stockton, right after Memorial Day, and it was also the first meeting for the Christian Fellowship. Well, at 12:18 on that Tuesday afternoon, Aiden texted me, and the scheduled speaker for that night had canceled. And he asked me if I could teach on James 1:1-11 that night. And though I was not thrilled about the short notice, I told him that I would do it. And I spent most of the rest of that afternoon preparing the Bible study. I don't do anything halfway. The lesson went well, and the students seemed genuinely interested. And the next morning, I finished my first devotional, and when I opened up the online upper room devotional, guess what the scripture was? This same text, right? And I took it as a sign from the Lord that it is a message that you need to hear, and a message that I need to hear. I check my records. I have not preached this text to you since 2016, and this will be a little different than that text. I keep every message. That way I know what I've done, and it's a good reference for the future. Now here's that upper room devotional. It was entitled Embracing Obstacles. And it was by Patrick Klingemann from Maine. We just got the winds from the hurricane, right? He says, for years I viewed health issues, career setbacks, and other difficulties as frustrating interruptions to the life that I wanted. And every time I overcame a tough situation, another one sprang up, slowing my progress. However, God helped change my attitude toward such challenges through an unlikely sport. Dog agility. For over a decade, I ran alongside Portuguese water dogs through winding courses filled with jumps and tunnels and other obstacles. In agility competition, speed is less important than successfully navigating each obstacle. Both in dog agility and in life, I've learned that what is most difficult can prove most important. And thankfully, we do not endure trials alone. Today's reading from James teaches us that perseverance is developed through the testing of our faith during life's trials and is key to making us mature and complete. It also reminds us that God's guidance is available to all who seek it. Much like my dogs could master difficult agility courses when they sought my direction, I have discovered that I can better handle challenges when I direct my attention toward God. When we keep our focus on God, we can find joy even in life's most unwanted interruptions. And then a very short prayer. Dear God, help us see our difficult circumstances through your eyes, knowing that our struggles can help us grow to be more like Jesus. Amen. James is teaching here, and all through the book of James, is challenging. We're supposed to welcome trials and tribulations. But more than that, we are to consider them nothing but joy, or all joy, or pure joy, depending on the translation. This is not a truth that you want to try to teach someone who is in the midst of the chaos and grief. They might find it impossible to accept during the storm. That is why it is critical for Christians to learn this truth early in their faith journey. Because Jesus himself promised that in this world we will have tribulation. Anybody here know that to be true? Yeah, every one of us knows that to be true, right? Okay, now I'm going to show you a short video of comedian John Crist. He's a Christian comedian, where he makes fun of the modern superficial approach to the Bible.
Stop putting Bible verses on your Instagram. It's disrespectful. My sister's like, fear not, for I'm with you wherever you go. I'm like, you're on the way to get lip fillers, dude. I don't think that's what the Lord meant. Just it's different than the people in the Bible verses. Oh, it's like my sister, God bless her, she just bought a new home. She's a new custom-built home with her husband, winding staircase, chandelier, beautiful, gorgeous home. You know what I'm saying? We took a tour. All of us, the family together, she has a letterboard in her kitchen. In her kitchen is a letterboard that says, we've been persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I don't think this is what Paul meant when he was shackled in prison. This man was chained to the floor. He just served me avocado toast. Okay, it's a little... I don't think the book of Galatians was like, dearest oppressed white women from the suburbs.
So, sometimes we can make a mountain of a molehill, right? James here is talking about serious trials and tribulations. There are real life catastrophes happening all the time. Our news feeds aren't filled with them. Before last, there were floods in Libya, right? The initial floods in northeastern Libya happened after there was torrential rain. And that was bad enough. But the worst of the damage happened, not a result of those floods, but it came by the subsequent bursting of two dams near the coastal city of Derna. And the death toll has now reached 11,000. And then the week before, there were earthquakes in Morocco, right? It was devastating. It's considered rare and powerful, a magnitude of 6.8. Nearly 3,000 people were killed and another 6,000 were injured, making it Morocco's deadliest since 1960 and most powerful since at least 1900. And it seems that a good portion of August, what did we hear on the news? About the fires in Mali, right? The final death toll is expected to be over 100. There's still people missing, so they haven't come up with a firm number yet. Hundreds of buildings and homes were destroyed, and is expected to take years to rebuild at a cost of billions. Now, when your hopes and dreams have been destroyed by floodwaters and quakes or fire, you're not likely to listen to James with an open heart and an open mind. This lesson must be ingrained into the fiber of your being prior to being overwhelmed by tragedy. Pastor Greg Laurie preached this text and he said, I read about a traveler that was visiting a logging area in northwest United States. He watched with great curiosity as a lumberjack working alongside a mountain stream would periodically jab his sharp hook into a log as it passed by and separate it from the others. This visitor could not see any rhyme or reason as to why the logger would grab certain logs and let all the others go by. So he asked him, what are you doing? The logger replied, these logs may all look alike to you, but I can recognize that a few of them are quite different. The ones that I felt that I let pass by grew in the valley where they were always protected from the storms. Their grain is rather coarse. But the logs that I had pulled aside come from the high up on the mountains, and they were beaten by strong winds from the time they were quite small. This toughens the trees and gives them a fine grain. And we say these logs for choice work. They are too good to be used for ordinary lumber. I tell you that James knew what he was talking about. He is writing to real people facing real issues. We need to know a little bit more about James and his day to get a fuller understanding and establish his credibility. James is the half-brother of Jesus, but he doesn't brag about it. Why? He only identifies himself as a bondservant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. While this is an act of humility, James rightly emphasizes what is most important. He does not mention in his greeting that he had authority as the head of the Jerusalem Christian Church, the first church. When you read the book of Acts, you can see that James is an important leader and that others seek out his approval, including the Apostle Paul. And while James grew up with Jesus, he and his brothers and sisters did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. We learn about that in John chapter 7. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, you ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him. So, they knew about the miracles, but they still did not believe. Jesus was right when he declared that a prophet was not received in his hometown. The next verse was the impetus for Jesus' statement and establishes that James is the name of one of Jesus' brothers. It's in Mark 6, verse 3. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters with us? And they took offense. They took offense at him, at Jesus. Remember, they drove him out to the pit and they were going to throw him off. After Jesus' death and resurrection, the situation has changed. We read about that Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Joseph, and with his brothers. James was there. In Paul's establishing the succinct account of the gospel, we are given a clue to James's conversion. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. This is the gospel. This is something that you should know. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of whom are still living, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. That's Paul speaking. James is writing to the 12 tribes. This is a common reference to the chosen people. For the most part, James is writing to Jewish Christians. Most of the early Christians were Jews. Do not forget that Jesus himself was a Jew. It was no accident that Jesus chose 12 disciples. We must remember that we have a spiritual Jewish heritage. Paul explained that the church has been grafted into the true vine of Israel. We see this being consummated in the closing portion of our Bibles, Revelation chapter 21, starting in the 10th verse. And he carried me away in the spirit, to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Why were the tribes scattered? Find the answer at the end of Acts chapter 7 and the beginning of chapter 8. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea. In Samaria, godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. So they fled. They scattered. They left all that they knew, family and friends, their jobs. They left that all behind them. And they went. And this persecution continued. James knew of what he spoke. He was the leader, and he felt responsible. I told you that we must learn learn early to equip us to face trials. But James did not have that luxury. The fire had already struck. The flood had already come, and the earth had already shook. Even his death witnessed to the ongoing persecution. The historian Josephus recorded it. Because James was preaching Jesus was the Christ in Jerusalem at Passover. He was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple. But he didn't die. So he gets up on his knees. Instead, he kneels and he prays, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. So what did they do? They responded by stoning him and beating him with a club until he died, and they buried him in the temple. How can joy and trials be conjoined? Well, do you believe that God is sovereign? Is God omnipotent, all-powerful? Does God love you? Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And the Lord Jesus promised in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our Heavenly Father goes with us. Our Savior, Jesus, is with us always. Somehow, some way, the God of all creation is working for you. No matter how dark the circumstances, no matter how severe the test, no matter the shouts of the enemies, we are more than conquerors through Christ who saves us. This testing does an amazing thing. The original words for the testing of our faith came from the process that silversmiths would use. They would use fire to heat the silver. And when it got hot enough, all the impurities in the dross would rise to the top of the molten silver. And then the silversmith would scoop it off and remove it. And this process would be repeated until the silversmith could see his reflection clearly in the surface of the silver. That is what is happening in our trials, in our testing. We are being formed in the image of our Creator. This should reshape our thinking and approach to trials. It is how we can find joy in our suffering, because we trust God completely in the process. And we want to be like the Lord Jesus. Note that when Stephen was stoned and when James was thrown from the temple pinnacle, they both mimicked the words of Jesus, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. This is a hard teaching, very hard. It takes faith. But how do we grow our physical muscles? By working them. Our spiritual muscles must be exercised too. The Lord's preparing us for the next climb, the next ascent of his heavenly hill. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Every round goes higher, higher. Soldiers of the cross. How is it possible for us weak mortal creatures? If any of you lacks wisdom, we are to ask God. This wisdom is divine, ordained for self, for real life application. It's not just intellectual, but it has a strong moral content. This wisdom gives light to our eyes of faith so that we may walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The book of Hebrews tells us, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do not be discouraged, because even the Apostle Paul knew that he was a work in progress. He tells us in Philippians 3:12, Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love how perfect is this word persevere here. Persevere. Persevere. For testing. James is not sugarcoating the Christian life. He is telling it how it is. But I could have chosen other words besides persevere because several English translations are needed to gain a full understanding. Patience and endurance, steadfastness, fortitude, and toughness complete the meaning. In the closing words of Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians, he says, our prayer is for your perfection. James proclaims our testing matures us and makes us complete. Then we will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now this week, I watched the movie How Green Was My Valley. It's based on a book of the same name by author Richard Llewellyn. It's about a faithful Welsh family who were coal miners in the mid-1800s, and they faced many trials and testings. Now I'm going to show you a scene. In a minute, I'm going to have to do a little computer stuff here to get it up on the screen. But it's about a boy that's been bedridden for several months. He has fallen through the ice into the chilling water, and the doctor didn't know if Hugh, that's his name, Hugh would ever walk again. And the pastor in this scene had promised that Hugh would be, he would see the first daffodils of spring. So give me a second to get this set up.
Watch out.
All right.
my prayer. I don't mean shouting, mumbling, wallowing like a hog in religious sentiment. Prayer is only another name for good, clean, direct meaning. When you pray, think. Think well what you're saying. Make your thoughts things that are solid. That way your prayer will have strength. That strength will become a part of you, body, mind, and spirit. The first duty of these new legs is to get you to chaplaincy. There's a good old man again. Come here.
So that movie, I highly recommend it to you. How Green Was My Valley is available on YouTube for free. And watch that movie. You'll be blessed. I won't tell you that, brother.
I have that film.
It's awesome film. There's a megachurch preacher named Matt Chandler that knows something about trials and tribulations. He has battled with brain cancer. And in his sermon in this text, he says, I want you to notice really what God is about, and that is progress, not necessarily perfection. But nevertheless, James tells us that God's desire is that we would be mature and complete, that we would be perfect in our faith. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful text, for this truth. For we know that there's great suffering in the world. We know friends and family members who are fighting cancer, those that are grieving, those that have a loved one fighting addiction. And they want to know where they will find strength. Let them find it in your guidance, in your presence, in their Savior, who promised to be with us to the very end of the age. And that you are good, and you love us, and that you prepared a place for us to receive us into the heavenly kingdom. We thank you for your promises. I pray this all in Jesus' name.